Now, more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS, is live and Lansing with Michael Cohen and the Capital City Recap.
Good evening. It is Thursday. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS. Producer Solomon Martin with us. Today, we'll talk to the head of the EPA union representing 9,000 workers, get his reaction to the EPA now facing a 31% budget cut. Also, a new study finding that chronic sleep deprivation can actually cause the brain to eat itself. We'll hear from one of the country's top brain health experts. Let's begin with the latest news out today. A federal appeals court refusing today to reinstate President Trump's revised travel ban, saying that it, quote, drips with religious intolerance, animus, and discrimination. Professor Alan Sachs with us, political science professor at the University of Texas at Arlington. Professor Sachs, great to have you on WILS.
Thank you very much. It's always appreciated.
That doesn't sound like very legalese talk, the way they describe this law that he wants to put
in. It doesn't to me either. It sounds like a bunch of people sitting around at a restaurant table and asking, well, what do you think about this? Was he mean? Was he not mean? What do you think about his intentions? Yeah. That doesn't make any difference as far as I know. You look at the law. And as I understand it, there is a statute that gives the president almost absolute authority to keep out whomever the president wants to keep out. Mm. It may be bad policy, it may be discriminatory, but it's legal.
And one of the countries he had on the list was Libya, right? Can you imagine if that attack that occurred in Manchester had occurred here? That would
absolutely. Yeah. That's a very interesting point. Libya, Somalia, Yemen. Yemen and Somalia are, I guess they're called failed states. Another way to put it is they've melted down. You know, they have no rule of law whatsoever there. The other is Sudan, which is another probably a failed state. The other is Iran. So those states, that's what President Trump wanted to ban.
Yeah, one thing that got him in trouble is the fact that he brought up a ban on Muslims while he was running for president. How big of a mistake was that on his part?
I would argue it may have been bad in his speech, but it should have no bearing whatsoever on the law. You don't worry about intentions in this issue. You worry about the law.
Yeah. But how is this different than all the executive orders that were challenged under President Obama? We had the same dynamics there, too, did we not?
That's right. But they didn't, I think, look at the intentions. What they ask is, did President Obama have the authority to issue an executive order? And the court, in some instances, says, no, he did not. Yeah. So it wasn't so much the intention of President Obama. It was whether he had the authority to issue that executive order. Trump does.
Is there a point, you think, for him to continue challenging this in court?
It'll be challenged probably at the U.S. Supreme Court level, but it'll be a while yet. They'll wait it. But meanwhile, this travel ban has been halted. Mm-hmm. The Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals that made their ruling today, mostly those are Democratic appointees, even though the Fourth Circuit is considered to be a lot more conservative, I think it was in Virginia, a lot more conservative than the Ninth Circuit on the West Coast, and it is, but still these were Democratic appointees, and you have to wonder if their politics entered into their decision.
Yeah, because it was a 10-3 vote, just the three.
That's right.
The three were the Republicans that dissented. What if we see an attack that originates from one of these countries here in the U.S., what do you think would happen at that point?
Well, I think that probably President Trump would obviously raise the issue, but it may not make any difference whatsoever on the court.
Yeah.
I think the court, and I'm doing this very respectfully, I obey, I may disagree with these decisions, but I certainly adhere to them and obey them. I think the court has gone way over its limits in just defining the law.
Right.
You don't worry about intentions, and if they're worried about the part of the First Amendment, which talks about the establishment of religion and the free exercise of religion.
And they frankly just don't like him, I think, at the core of it, and disagree with him fundamentally. Professor Alan Sachs with us here on 1320 WILS. President Trump is now going to focus more intensely on the leaks, these incessant leaks that
it's
basically
terrible.
Come out daily. Is this what do you think is happening here? Is this something we've seen historically?
Not like this. I mean, there have been leaks in government, no question about it, all the time. But this has been one after another after another. And what makes this especially important is that it comes from the intelligence community, national security. And that's what makes this very, very important.
Do you think they have it out for him as an organization?
It sure looks like there are people in the community, in Washington or in other places, that it's just too much. And it looks like they were ready when President Trump came in, start leaking.
Why do you think that is, though?
It is really just bothered this administration terribly, and it's no way to govern.
Now, what do you think is behind that? Why are they so aggressive in trying to get him out?
I would argue it's just strictly political. That's just my own layman sense, that there's something very political, because it's happened so much, so often, that it's not just an everyday occurrence. And especially in the area of national security, it affects us all.
Is he a real threat to the? Is he a real threat, do you think, to the political establishment?
I think that President Obama, I'm just giving my own two cents, was such a real threat to the political establishment, Republican and Democratic alike, that
you mean President Trump, right?
To President Trump, exactly.
Okay.
It's so embedded. By the way, President Obama was today in Berlin. It's really interesting. I'm going to be very political. President Trump is not far away in Brussels, attending a NATO conference, not far away from Berlin. And he's there in Berlin with Angela Merkel before she went to the NATO conference in Brussels. And President Obama is there making a speech and answering questions. It seems to me that he really just can't let it go. You know, he's holding on to it.
Yeah, but would you say he's been generally reserved in commenting about President Trump?
I think he's been relatively reserved, but there are moments, and sometimes you can read between the lines and the comments that he makes. But I would be, I'm going to go way over the top and say, he doesn't have to say anything. People are saying it for him. So the whole Democratic Party that was in lockstep with President Obama just a few months ago, they're doing it for him, and also the political establishment.
Well, I should say the media, too.
And the media.
You know, look, Alan, I get home, I do want to see what the latest news is, but at this point now, I know what's going to be on the networks, on the news networks.
Exactly.
It's going to be the same story. Do you watch the evening news? I mean, the networks in the evenings?
No. You don't? No. I don't. I'm usually on the internet. I read a lot. I look at a lot of other magazines, a lot of other articles.
You're not interested
to
see CNN and MSNBC's reporting on
this? I listen to CNN occasionally and to Fox occasionally and even MSNBC occasionally. And by the way, I know this is overdone, but the late-night comedians, and I use the word comedian in a very, very skeptical way, like Stephen Colbert, the things they've said about President Trump on national television, they have the right to do it, and I would support that, but it is so far over the top. It is scatological.
Horrible. I'm curious, Alan, those that say that in a way he set up this atmosphere and the way he spoke about opponents and about the media, how much of that do you think that's part of it?
It is. I have to admit that President Trump should have been criticized very strongly for many of his comments, and he was. Mm-hmm. But now he's president of the United States, and it's respect not just of the man, but of the office. And when you see a Stephen Colbert and other individuals talking about it in this way, it's just terrible.
So what's that going to do
The office has been disrespected.
Yes, he stays in office. If this continues, what do you think? How's it going to affect how we think about the president in general?
Well, I think it is degrading to all public officials, and many of them have to know how to act as well in their campaigning and when they become office. But the respect also of how we respond to them. If you don't like them, you go to the ballot box. You can make a speech against them, but it still must be respectful. If a student in a classroom, in any American classroom, talked the way Stephen Colbert talked, they'd probably, be ushered out of the classroom. Mm-hmm. And here is a man who a lot of people listen to at night. And by the way, His ratings have gone up dramatically since then.
Right.
That says a lot about who we are. So the more he uses that scatological language, the more his ratings go up. That shows who we are as much as who Mr. Colbert is.
Hmm.
And it ain't good.
Doesn't say very good things. How's school going this year?
It's good.
Yeah.
We're in summer school. We're going into summer school in about a week, right after the Memorial Day holiday.
Okay.
And it'll be good to see how the students react to some of this. But summer school is obviously a lot slower than the fall semester. But I'm ready. Some of my students have some very interesting comments to make.
Are they pretty much all anti-Trump across the board?
Not entirely. That's sort of interesting. I think the majority are, but I believe that there are some conservative students. But like the few conservative professors, they're usually, I think, fearful of saying anything.
Yeah. And as a professor, do you generally find that on campus it's assumed that nobody really supports President Trump?
I would suggest that probably is the atmosphere. It's sort of understood that they don't. I remember the day after the election, and I'm getting out of my car in the parking lot, and we're a university as big as Michigan State, and I get out of my car, and there are two wonderful professors, women, and I did not know who they were, but I knew that they were professors, just the way they looked and what they were carrying and everything.
Yeah.
And they said to me, "Isn't it awful what happened last night?" And I said, "Uh-oh, don't get into this."
Well,
you know.
Yeah,
and I said, "Well, I don't think it was so bad. This is the day after the election." And then they walked away from me, you know.
Yeah,
there still is a great amount of comedy and friendliness.
Yeah.
And there is some bitterness occasionally. I have a few more stories like that. But generally, people are very kind to me. And I also need to be kind to them, and I try to remind myself of that.
You're a kind person. Alan Sachs, political science professor at the University of Texas at Arlington, right here on WILS. Thank you, Alan.
Thank you so much. It's greatly appreciated.
Yep.